Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Memorial 581, a memorial to the Congress of the United States urging Congress to prohibit the use of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits to purchase soft drinks.
Members, this memorial asks Congress and the President to take sodas off the SNAP program. Sodas are not nutritious, number one. Number two, by 2035, over 50% of the Florida population will be obese. That will have a cost to our society of almost $65 billion, almost half of our budget. They also have a lot of comorbidities with obesity, including hypertension and diabetes.
All right. So as you would expect, comorbidities, that means Candy asked me, what did he say? Comorbidities, which is, you know, things that are factors in death. They are additional factors that can put you at risk for death. So this is Representative Dr. Ralph Masullo, one of the co-presenters on the bill, House Memorial 581, the one that basically says, hey, Congress, we don't think that SNAP ought to be covering soda. That's what this bill is all about. Now, this is regulated by the federal government. This is not regulated by the state of Florida. But the state of Florida, in, you know, covering health care costs, will have a consequence to people who have obesity in part as a result of their consumption of soft drinks, which is, you know, we know they're not healthy for you. That's the way of it. The question is, should SNAP benefits be paying for this? You ask, well, how significant of a cost is this? How much money is actually going to this?
In 1965, when they started the SNAP program, they debated about whether or not to include soda on the program. The House of Representatives voted against it. However, the Senate disagreed because they said, most likely, people will not use the SNAP program to purchase sodas. Today, it's the number one purchased item on the program, which is $73 billion, and the cost of soda alone is almost $8.3 billion a year.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. $8 billion a year, which is about, well, depending on what the end cost is, let's call that about a two-thirds of an aircraft carrier. That's my way of thinking about billions, you know. How many aircraft carriers can we get for that? So $8 billion a year that goes to fund SNAP benefits so that people can buy soda. Are you kidding?
People drink soda.
They do drink it, but it's not food. That's the problem. It's not food. It's not nutritious. It's not helping people avoid starvation.
You can buy water.
You don't need to buy water. It comes in the tap. You could buy milk. There are all kinds of nutritious things. In fact, just to put this in perspective, the ratio of soda to, like, for example, milk, something that's really helpful for young kids, right?
You know, in New York City alone, last year they spent $75 million on SNAP with soda. That's three times the amount of money that they spent to purchase milk on the same program.
Wow. I mean, it's okay. So there's obviously counter argument here. 3 million Floridians are on SNAP, 1 million children, if you want to put this all in perspective. So about one in seven people is getting some kind of supplemental nutrition assistance program benefit. All right. Angela Nixon, who is I hate to say it, my least favorite representative. There's a lot of incredibly good representatives. She just always seems to miss it somehow. Anyway, but she's getting into a fight with Randy Fine, one of the co-sponsors of the bill, about this concept of a food desert. And in case you're not familiar, that's an important concept of this conversation, is where can you buy good food? And in a lot of places, especially in poor and or black neighborhoods, there are no grocery stores. There's only convenience stores. And so it's very hard to find reasonably priced, nutritious food. That's genuinely a real challenge.
Food deserts exist in low-income areas. Do you know what a food desert is?
Food deserts do exist. One of the leading causes of the fact that they exist is that people can use their SNAP programs in places like convenience stores, which is why that's one of the reasons why people are buying soda. So if they can only use it for soda, you create more money because most convenience stores don't want to stock produce and things like that. It frees up more money to create more money that might be used to create incentives for there to be supermarkets in those areas.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What did you just say, Rep? I don't know what you just said.
Okay. I thought it was fairly clear. He's saying that the money that goes to support convenience stores through the purchase of soda, if that money were redirected towards other food that would actually be nutritious, maybe they would stock the other food, or maybe there'd be an incentive for grocery stores to come into those areas. At least that's the argument.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to make it a little easier. So one of the places that people use SNAP today is in convenience stores. It's one of the leading places they use it. You think you're on food stamps, therefore you're going to Publix, and there's not a Publix, thus there's a food desert. But for reasons that elude me to some degree, people can use these things in convenience stores. Convenience stores, which do exist in these places where there are food deserts, generally do not offer a wholesome range of things because they're convenience stores. As a result, a lot of the SNAP money ends up being spent there. That crowds out the ability of supermarkets to go in and capture that money. If you can't spend that multi-billion dollars of money on sodas, you now have to spend it on other things, things that you may not be able to find in the convenience store.
So the question or the argument he's raising is, if you had more of that money available for healthier food, then maybe you'd build a Publix in the poor neighborhood. I don't think so. Honestly, I think there are other reasons why you don't find the Publix in the Winn-Dixie, and you find
a
grocery advantage.
Dollar General started stocking
things. That's right. So the question is, okay, if you've got this limited opportunity to buy food in poor areas, which is just true. Like, I live in District 3, I can tell you it's true. You got to go to other areas to find your grocery stores. And that's a problem for people who cannot travel because they don't have transportation. I mean, all of these things are all connected. The question is, if they couldn't make as much money off of the SNAP benefits for soda, would they stock other things that might be healthier because they can sell those other things? That's a reasonable argument. That's what he's getting at. 437-1620. We'll finish this up in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the five. By the way, Candy completely disagrees with me.
I'm a soda pop person, but it's just like, who are you? You're using an old pitcher, Mr. West Virginia doctor. You know, are you a doctor? Never mind.
I'm not a doctor.
Not you. Dr. Pepper over
no, he's
there.
A real
Mr.
Doctor.
Yeah, whatever. From West Virginia. Tops Appliance, featuring freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, rangers, washers, and dryers. We do love Tops Appliance. They're great. They're from GE, Hot Point, Speed Queen, and more. Tops Appliance, that's Highway 90 in Milton. And good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns right now. Shemekla Highway, Woodbine, and Berry Hill Road, all clear. No slowdowns on Guernsey or Giddens Lane. East, West, North, and South Spencerfield also all moving smoothly. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So basically what you've got here is about 11% of the SNAP benefits are being spent on soda, which is, we already, you can't buy alcohol, right? There's all kinds of things you cannot buy with your SNAP benefits. And that's the idea here, is you wanting to get people to at least be spending the money on things that are healthy for them. But of course, you know, they continue to go back and forth on this.
If there are no supermarkets in the neighborhood and there are instead multiple convenience stores, which is what a food desert, which is, which is an example of a food desert, then please tell me, how can folks get access to food options, healthy food options?
Representative Fine, for the third time.
Yeah, sorry. I'll take it down even lower.
That's kind of condescending. But it's true. He's making an argument, and she's either pretending not to understand it or refusing to understand it.
Let's imagine our memorial said, you can only use this money on fresh food. On fresh food, like literally stuff that will go bad in 3 days. That would push almost all of the spending, all the billions of dollars of spending out of convenience stores. It would have to go to other retailers that could now capture that food. We're not going that far in this bill, but we're taking the number one villain, if you will, which is, again, this bill just focuses on sugary carbonated soda, which has no nutritional value. And as Chair Masullo talked about, also has all sorts of negative externalities. I can try again if I need to.
And, of course, that was mostly the end of that segment of the conversation.
I do somewhat want to offer up a point of order because the Speaker Renner actually got up here earlier. I just feel like the way in which you're responding to me is mad disrespectful. And
Representative Nixon, do you have another question, ma'am?
Yeah, but you keep not getting the clear argument. You can disagree with the argument, but you keep acting like he's not even making one. So the end question here is, should a public assistance program that was originally intended to prevent starvation, and as such is a good program, should it draw any lines whatsoever about what things can and can't be bought with the money? Well, of course. I mean, of course it should draw lines. It doesn't. We don't buy alcohol with SNAP benefits, right? Okay, so where should the line be? Well, you have to draw a line somewhere. Should it include soda? Why on earth would we spend public money to buy people soda? That just doesn't make any... There's no nutritional benefit for
it. What does everybody care what other people buy with their money?
It's not their money.
It is their money.
It's
if they're
public
they need
money.
A subsidy to get by
it's,
with
it's
the way wages
money.
Are and the inflation and,
it's
oh,
not
now you can't
their
buy soda.
Money. It's not their money. If they want to buy something that's nutritious, like milk, obviously, or if they want to buy... And look, I have been to the grocery store, and I had somebody text me the same exact thing. Somebody says, I work full-time... I think it's outrageous that I choose not to buy cuts of meat that are too expensive, and I go to the grocery store and I watch people with their SNAP cards buy meat that I turn down that I can't afford with my full-time pay.
I worked at a grocery store,
same
too, and you
thing.
Don't see... That is the exception and not the rule.
Okay. I'm saying I have seen the same exact thing
Everybody's seen it once or twice. Everybody has seen it
and
before,
that's the point.
Everybody's done it before.
We want to maximize the value of getting good, healthy food. And if we're avoiding starvation, if we're helping kids, I'm all in. But when we have abuses in the system, the question is, well, how can we tailor the system in order to reduce those abuses? 621 on News Radio 92.3 437 1620. Feel free to disagree with me. My producer does. And we still get along okay.
I'm your board op, and that's right. I mean, because technically, you really do all the work. All I do is push buttons, and I'm just friends with Andrew, truly. That's
I think
why
this morning
here.
I'm
but
the
I
one pushing
disagree.
The buttons. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Celebrate Easter together with the help of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. At Costello's, you'll find a variety of lamb, beef tenderloins, and hams. From the best steak cuts to exotic meats, Costello's has it all for a happy Easter. You'll find a great selection of wine specials, cannoli trays, pies, cheesecakes, and so much more. From Boar's Head Deli Meats, free lunches for the kiddos, and that Italian family hospitality. It's only at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. A great place to meet up and wine all you want on the west side of Pensacola.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What you talking about, Willis?
We taking up too much time trying to dictate to poor people what they can and cannot do. And I just think that we should do better than that here in this legislature and not be worrying about how people, you know, spend their money to feed their families.
Well, that's the issue. It's not their money. It's public money being given to them for the purpose of feeding their families. And if they're using it to buy soda, then what the representative, Masullo and Fine, are asking the federal government to do is to revise the SNAP program to say, just don't use it for that, just like we don't use it for alcohol. It's not their money, it's public money. That's the exact point being raised. Lots of texts coming in on the subject, 437-1620. Again, somebody called to clarify and wanted to know, well, what other states do that? It's a federal program, so we can't choose. It's asking the federal government to look into this, which they have looked into before and have not taken action on. Although, again, going back to the beginning, the Senate voted to allow it in the beginning, which the House went along with, but they thought that nobody would ever use it. It's now 11% of the whole budget of SNAP to buy soda. 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody here says, every convenience store I go into has milk, fruit, bread, cereal. Not sure why they need to use SNAP on soda. Somebody else here says, let's see, pop isn't nutritious. Use personal cash for bad choices. If they're buying Coca-Cola instead of food, then you're not as hard up as you might believe. Somebody here says you can't buy, well, this can't buy cocaine with it. We can't buy illegal drugs with it, right? Also, you can't buy supplements with it. I thought that was weird. You can't buy, like, vitamins, which to me, vitamins are very nutritious. Like, but you can't buy vitamins with your SNAP benefits.
Well, some soda has vitamins.
Okay, somebody but like says, I prefer a soda.
I'm with you 100%, water. Andrew. It's not their money. It's money that's ours, given to them to prevent starvation. Soda doesn't prevent starvation. And restricting purchases will not bring stores to bad neighborhoods, improving the neighborhoods. Well, I agree. You're the main one saying you don't like people telling you what to do, so what is this? Well, again, if somebody's giving me money for a purpose, it ought to accomplish that purpose. But feel free to disagree. That's why we have a show. 437-1620. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or accidents, nothing that's going to stop you from getting anywhere. 98 in Heritage Parkway in Navarre showing an accident, but looks like it has been moved off to the side. Jack's Ranch Road and Cantonment and Shifco Road showing an accident, but again, no roadblock there either. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And I'll go one step further on this, by the way. I would say, I would have no problem with saying, okay, the $8 billion that we spend federally on buying soda through the SNAP program, turn that into subsidies for grocery stores. Cool. I mean, that would be a better use of the money by far to try to get rid of some of the food deserts that really are a problem in poor and or black neighborhoods. David Wayne's got our headlines for us. David?
Secret Service agents connected to former President Donald Trump have been subpoenaed now as part of an investigation into his handling of classified documents. Reports say the subpoenas are related to Special Counsel Jack Smith's probe into the discovery of documents at Mar-a-Lago last year. The agent's testimony expected in front of a Washington, D.C. grand jury as early as this week. Tax refunds apparently are a little bit less than usual this year. The latest IRS data showing that the total amount refunded to taxpayers is $172 billion so far, more than $16 billion less than last year. Average refund of just under $3,000, which is about $360 less per person from last year as well. And today marks the 55th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, wow.
He was shot at 39 outside of a second-story motel room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis.
That's horrible. I know, right? Don't you think of him being older than that? I do. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was 39.
Yeah, 39.
Right. Blows my mind. I was, of course.
And all the, of course, you know, all he accomplished in, well, you know,
under 40 years.
Before 40, here I am at 52. What have I done? You know, I mean, all right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 628 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You remember Sanna Marin? I think is how you say her name, Marin. She's the Finnish prime minister that was very, very young, and she was in the videos dancing and partying.
The
and
hot one,
they
yeah.
wanted her to, yeah, very attractive. They wanted her to take a drug test at one point to prove that she wasn't taking recreational drugs or whatever. Her party lost the election, so she is not going to be the prime minister any longer. And if you don't understand the parliamentary system, it's complicated. The short version is you vote by party, not by person, and then the party that gets the most representatives, members of parliament, they then select the prime minister, the first of many, the first of all. And then what you oftentimes do is you have to create a coalition government, is what they call it, where a group of parties get together and say, well, none of us have majority, but we can all work together to create this thing. I don't mean to mansplain parliament too, but a lot of people don't understand the system. So it's good to have the background. So in this particular case, her party actually came in third. The Social Democratic Party that she is in came in third place to the center-right National Coalition Party, and the Finns Party, the right-wing populist party, her party got 19% of the vote. They each got 20 and, well, right around 20. So I don't know what they're going to do for a prime minister, but it's not going to be her. Also, I love this note in the news story. This is my favorite part. I love good news reporting. It is unclear if the video of her dancing resulted in serious opposition from Finnish voters. They could have affected the race for prime minister. We just don't know.
We just need to get somebody to twerk
somebody,
now.
I hope that somebody dancing as a prime... I would hope that'd be a benefit, not a detriment to them. Anyway, David, what do you have coming up, sir?
The next gun violence roundtable discussion being held tonight. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Donald Trump will be arraigned in Manhattan criminal court later today following a grand jury indictment last week. He's the first former president in history to face criminal charges, and the proceedings will be unprecedented. Trump scheduled to return to his Florida home, Mar-a-Lago, to hold a rally Tuesday evening. Arraignment set for 2:15 p.m. Trump's team has filed a motion to dismiss the case. NATO has a new member today.
We will welcome Finland as the 31st member of NATO, making Finland safer and our alliance stronger.
That's NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. Russia has warned that it would bolster forces near Finland if NATO sends any additional troops or equipment. Turkey has refused to sign off on Sweden's NATO bid. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 74 degrees, mostly cloudy here in Pensacola. Escambia County's been all in the last several weeks on providing resources to curb gun violence in the Brownsville neighborhood. Now, that's meant extra sheriff's office patrols, stricter code enforcement, and even increased social services.
Crime is an issue. Poverty is an issue. Blight is an issue, but we're working with code enforcement, we're working with our CRA to make a difference. And as I often say, the greatest investment is in human capital. We're going to continue to do the very best that we can do to make Brownsville the best neighborhood that we can make it.
That's Escambia County Commissioner Lumen May. He talked with Channel 3. Now, this strategy was conceived and discussed at a previous gun violence roundtable discussion that was held several weeks ago with Sheriff Chip Simmons and other local leaders. And they're having another roundtable discussion meeting tonight at the Brownsville Community Center. That'll be at 5:30 this evening. Local residents, especially in the Brownsville area, invited to come out and let local leaders know how that's working. Judge Clyde Roger Vinson has passed away after a battle with cancer. He was 83. Vinson graduated from the Naval Academy in 1962. He was a Navy pilot, earned his wings right here in Pensacola. After his Navy service, Vinson went into law and was appointed as a judge back in 1983. He served as the chief judge of the Northern District of Florida from 1997 until 2004. Vinson was the judge that presided over many high-profile cases, including the Christmas Day abortion clinic bombings in Pensacola from 1984 and a challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Donald Trump voters are showing their support for the former president. They gathered in Palm Beach County yesterday as he was driven to the airport to fly to New York for today's arraignment. Over 100 people could be seen at near Mar-a-Lago waving flags. One woman said she supports Trump because he stands by the people and is for the people. Another man told CBS4 that he believes that the arraignment will boost Trump's popularity because people are tired of the injustice. Two prominent Florida Democrats have been charged with trespassing. Senate Minority Leader Lauren Book and Florida Democratic Party Chair Nikki Freed were both arrested yesterday in Tallahassee during an abortion protest. They and about 40 others were protesting after the state's Senate passed a bill that bans abortions after 6 weeks. Book says the bill's not about life, but she says it's about control. The bill does still have to pass the House. It won't be debated there until at least next week. Escambia County District 5 Commissioner Stephen Berry hosting a town hall meeting later this or next week, I should say, in Cantonment. That's going to be held next Monday, April 10th at 5 o'clock p.m. It'll be an open forum event. All District 5 residents are welcome to attend and ask any questions they have. County staff will also be there to answer those. That meeting, again, being held Monday, April 10th at 5 o'clock at the Langley Bell 4-H Center. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. This is eastbound Highway 98, Navarre Parkway. It looks like the accident is close to Navarre Beach Camping Resort near New Life Deliverance Temple Church. But again, this is eastbound Navarre Parkway, and it looks backed up. I'm showing a roadblock all the way back to bridge in Navarre, the causeway there. So caution there, just something you want to keep in mind if you're making your way that way. And certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can text 437-1620. Also to be part of the conversation, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It is going to be a warm and humid day today. Temperatures warming near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70. Warm, humid weather continues as you go into Wednesday, high near 81. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Small chance of rain builds in for your Thursday. 20% chance of showers overall. High near 81 degrees. Low Thursday night near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, cloudy and 74 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Toyota reported a drop in quarterly U.S. auto sales as it struggled to get enough cars and trucks to dealers due to chip shortages. The Japanese automaker says first quarter sales fell 8.8%. GM, meanwhile, reported a 17.6% rise in quarterly U.S. auto sales as pent-up demand for personal transport continued to outpace supply. GM says it gained significant market share in the first quarter, pricing was strong, and inventories are in very good shape. Real estate investment trust Extra Space Storage will acquire Life Storage for $12.4 billion in a deal that will result in the combined company becoming the largest self-storage space operator by store count. The deal will offer the companies a transformative scale and cut costs at a time when demand for storage space has waned from the heights of the pandemic as people return to offices, and some analysts expect more consolidation in the sector. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
The YMCA is just a starting line, for the true self blooms only when we find our purpose, what makes us tick below the surface. Y is the before work hustle, an after school home, a section of my block, a corner to call my own. With my Y, I stand strong, seen and supported all along. It's a million faces in a mirror, and everyone belongs. Find your Y. Join today at YMCA.org for a better us.
Hey Pensacola, it's Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we are celebrating. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary and winning the 2022 Best of the Bay Award. My dad, Louis Barbieri, started this company with a vision of providing the best service with honesty and integrity for the community. He also started the flat rate pricing system where you know exactly what the job will cost before the work is done, so there are no surprises. Now, 50 years later, his vision continues. At Barbieri Plumbing, we appreciate you putting your trust in us and voting us as 2022 Best of the Bay winner. We know you don't always need a plumber, but when you do, we appreciate your vote of confidence by choosing Barbieri Plumbing. Call Barbieri Plumbing, 850-477-8782. That's 850-477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Reunion Band making their final Bands on the Beach appearance ahead of their retirement on June 1st. Don't miss the Reunion Band playing all your favorite hits one more time at Bands on the Beach.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Public safety package. This bill focuses on two areas. One, it eliminates the government permission slip to carry a concealed weapon in the state of Florida. It does not change the legal requirements to carry a firearm. It does not change the process for purchasing a weapon, but it does allow for Floridians to get a concealed carry license if they so choose, but are not required to have.
This is the bill. That's right. There's a lot of pieces to this bill, and there was a very robust discussion about this in the Senate before they advanced it. SB 150, Jason Pizzo, a very outspoken Democrat, a guy who, frankly, I like Jason quite a bit. I think he makes really good arguments. He's interesting to listen to. There are several really good Democrats who articulate their ideas. I mean, I couldn't disagree with her more, but on the House side, Representative Raymer Goolsbee, I always get her last name wrong, but she's very interesting. I couldn't disagree with her more, but she's always very interesting. Anyway, Jason Pizzo makes the argument that...
And here we are, where in one side of our mouths we're saying we're at a 50-year crime low, but that everyone needs to be strapped.
But, of course, one response to that is, well...
First of all, what Senator Pizzo started off with stating, that we have the lowest crime in Florida, but everyone has to be strapped, and this doesn't make sense. And I just want to refocus that stat. I think we have the lowest crime. We have such low crime rates in Florida because everybody has... not a strap on them, but has the ability to be strapped.
Deterrence is the idea. Now, whether you accept it or not, and certainly not everybody does, that's why we have such a fight over this particular, like we've had a fight over all of these issues. That's politics. We disagree about how things ought to be run. And so the question is it deterring crime? Is it discouraging crime? Well, the sort of classic argument in favor of concealed carry is that if you are a bad person intent on doing a bad thing, where would you rather go do that bad thing? At the police station? Right? I mean, classic one extreme. And to take something that's absolutely not a laughing matter, at an unarmed gathering of people, like, say, at a picnic or a party or a school. And you know the answer, right? If you know something is a gun-free zone, that's where you would rather go if you're intent on doing bad things. What about something that's mixed, something where you're going to have people that maybe a lot of them are carrying, or at least some of them are carrying? Well, you don't want to go there. You disprefer that because armed guards are a deterrence, which is the primary value of concealed carry. It's not actually to thwart the crime. You know, it's not for actually somebody to pull out the gun and stop it. The real value of concealed carry is to make people feel like there might be armed people all over the place. That's the value of it, because when that perception exists, then people don't commit crime in those places as much. They're deterred from it. There's one very interesting story in the testimony and the commentary where, you know, basically one of the guys who was former cop is watching a video of a bank robbery where basically the two bad guys went into the bank, looked around, and they noticed that there was this older-looking white guy in kind of farmerish, not farmer, but, you know, sort of rural attire, if you want to describe it that way. And you can see them look at that guy, look at each other, talk for a second, and then they go sit down and they wait. And when that guy leaves is when they rob the bank. Clearly, because they were concerned that, well, that looks like the kind of guy who might have a gun. And let's not do this while he's around. And that's the idea. It is discouraging and deterrence. But there's certainly no doubt that if you have more guns, there are going to be some issues because of that. Jason Pizzo again.
And I said very early on this bill, that I am in fact not worried about mass shootings with the passage of this bill. I'm worried about mass idiots. It's because when this bill passes, however careful, however well-intended, people are going to die because of carelessness.
Which is the argument that was made also by Senator Tina Scott Polsky, another Democrat.
It's going to lead to stand your ground murders. It's going to lead to fights in a supermarket, and somebody's going to pull out a gun that shouldn't have a gun. And we should do everything in our power to make us safer. That's more important.
Well, that's the reason why we favor it, is because this is making it easier for people to defend themselves, which makes it easier for them to be safer and to protect other people in that circumstance. Listen, if I'm concealed carrying at the grocery store and something happens and you're not, you're going to get the benefit of me carrying a gun because I'm going to help protect you. Which is why when we talk to Sheriff Simmons and Sheriff Johnson, and they support this because they want citizens to be able to be on the scene immediately to defend, as opposed to having to wait for the police to arrive. Because it's great to have the police in our area be so robust and capable, but they're minutes away, and minutes matter in a shooting. That's it. Or when somebody tries to take your money out on the street. And listen, my advice to you is if somebody tries to take your money out on the street, give them your money. Give them your money. Because your life and their life isn't worth the money. But if somebody is threatening me and my wife and my kids with a gun, and I'm of the belief that giving them the money has not solved this problem, that's when I'm going to take action, which is when you should take action. 437-1620, 437-1620. Again, this bill doesn't, it's by the way, July 1st. It's not today. You cannot concealed carry without a permit until July 1st. They did, you know, the governor did sign it in a very, you know, quick ceremony. Didn't even do any press with this, which I thought was kind of interesting. But, you know, signed it into law. It would also allow private schools to enroll in the Guardian program, working with the Sheriff's Department. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later with Sheriff Simmons. 437-1620. We'll get to some of your comments here in just a second, because there's a whole other side to this issue we haven't talked about, and we'll get to that in a second, too. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it's brought to you by Discover. So watching that accident, Navarre at Highway 98 in the Heritage Parkway, and it is backed up quite a ways, almost to the causeway in Navarre. So, and that is eastbound that it is backed up, and that's where the accident is. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. Discover credit cards, do something awesome. At the end of your first year, they should automatically, or they automatically double all cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you've earned doubled. See terms, check it out for yourself, discover.com/match. 437-1620, text if you have traffic tips or want to be part of the conversation. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to this concept about concealed carry without a permit. You know, somebody says the bill, text in at 437-1620, the bill is not requiring everyone to be strapped. It's allowing a more simple way for law-abiding citizens to be protected. Criminals have the easiest way to get them. They steal them, which is true. That's why, you know, that's why the sheriff has been working so hard to get people to, you know, lock their doors and keep it yours, you know, a longtime slogan that they've been using. But the part of the issue is the time delay in getting a permit. You know, I tend to think about sort of most vulnerable person cases, and I think about things like, you know, a woman who feels threatened by a boyfriend that she broke up with. I don't want her to have to wait the time that it takes to get a concealed carry permit. I want her to be able to go buy a gun today, and I want her to be able to carry that gun today because some lunatic is after her because she broke up with him or because she didn't give him the affection. That's what I want to see, and this allows that. This allows you to not have to go through that months-long process. And I understand the training argument, but I don't think that under the current regime, the training is all that robust anyway. It's pretty pathetic, frankly. And I do want you to be trained, and I do want you to be accurate, and I do want you to practice, and I do want you to not have an accident and know how to handle a gun and have good aim and have good judgment and know the law, all of which is complicated, none of which is solved by having a concealed carry permit. I can't tell you how many times I've had a permit for, God, like 5 years, 4 years, something like that. I can't tell you still how many times I'm not sure what the law says and I have to go check and just be sure that I know it. And it's my job to know what the law says. It's complicated to know what the law says and to know where you can and can't carry a gun and to obey properly and to be trained, to be able to use the gun. I mean, all of these things are complicated. The issue is, do you believe that it is a basic right that people have without government permission or a permission slip, as they call it? Or do you believe that it's a privilege that they only earn by jumping through a series of essentially foolish hoops in order to make people feel better about why they've got that permit in the first place? And the other side of the argument, of course, which is, who is it that's going to restrain themselves from carrying a gun when they shouldn't be? Well, it's law-abiding citizens. Who is not going to restrain themselves from carrying a gun concealed when they shouldn't be? Well, criminals. They do it anyway. So the only thing you accomplish by having a permitting scheme or a training requirement scheme is that you get people who are law-abiding citizens don't take the steps to protect themselves because it's either difficult or it's costly or whatever. By the way, another one of the arguments that came up, a very reasonable argument, is who does the price tag of a concealed carry permit disadvantage the most? The poorest people, who, by the way, are often in the most dangerous neighborhoods and have the most need and value for concealed carry. Listen, I want poor people and black people who are highly at risk because of higher crime neighborhoods to be carrying, to have guns to protect themselves and their families and their friends and their fellow citizens because they're law-abiding citizens. That's what I want. I know a lot of times the left accuses people on the right who believe in guns of somehow being weirdly racist on it. No, I think that gun, like, you know, you used to prohibit black people from owning guns in this country as a form of Jim Crow, as a form of racism. I want black people to own guns. I want poor people to own guns. I want people to be trained and to be competent and capable, but I want the people who are the most vulnerable. That's the value of it. 437-1620, text in. Somebody says, let's see, this is the difference between left and right. Most of us don't believe anyone should have to do things unless they choose to do, whereas the left wants to force everyone. Somebody, and that same thing, don't pick fights in a Publix. Yeah, well, that's a good idea. So somebody here says, what worries me is that the girl that gets a gun today doesn't know how to handle the gun, point it, shoot it, all that. I'm glad I had to take a class. Oh, no, I agree. And I want them to take a class. I just don't think that the class that we require is an adequate distinction between, you know, incapacity and real skill. Everybody ought to take the class. Everybody ought to learn. Everybody ought to go to a range. Totally agree with that. I just don't think that the way we require it right now accomplishes as much as the scheme is intended to accomplish. 651 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, but as always, feel free to disagree with me. That is always allowed. If you hear me talking about Christina Leavenworth, I talk about how many homes she sells every year, about 200 homes every single year. Fantastic. I mean, part of the reason is because she treats every home like it's hers. Like, she's selling her home. I know, because I've talked to her. She's like, man, a home's not moving, and I get bothered by that. Like, I take it personally. And when you look at the individual attention that she gives to people, how to stage it, what to fix, because she knows what people are going to be turned off by, and she'll tell you, hey, we need to fix this. That'll work better for you. But even, like, I don't know, it's a dumb thing, but it always stuck with me, is that she had a home that was about to close, and this has happened more than once. Home's about to close, and like on the day before the closing, they discover nail holes in the wall. Well, that's not good. But what do you do? Well, you go spackle the holes, and you paint them, and you fix it. That's what you do. She's like personally done that. Why? Because that's what it takes to get home sold. And it's that kind of devotion to details and the every last little piece of the puzzle to get the deal done. That's what she's emphatic about. So if you want somebody who's going to treat your home like it's hers and is outstanding at selling it or buying, same thing on the other side, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, and even 350. Florida's 346. Texas is 315, and California is 484. If you're in Navarre, 314 east of the Walmart, 312 west at the other Walmart. If you're getting in through Tiger Point, 309 at the Murphy across the street from the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 329 at the Exxon in proper, 318 at the Raceway in Milton, 318 at the P Ridge Murphy, 325 if you... Is that the Circle K? The Raceway, in Pace. That's the one you want to go to. If you're in Pensacola or coming over to Pensacola, 313 at the Walmart Neighborhood Market on 9 Mile, 313 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, looks like 317 at the Shell at Pace and Cervantes. 655 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look around, just watching that one accident right now in Navarre. It's Highway 98 and Heritage Parkway, and I'm showing a roadblock, and again, this is eastbound and backed up to the Navarre Beach Causeway right now. Caution there, wherever you are. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Into the newsroom now where David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
Two Florida Democrats charged with trespassing at an abortion protest in Tallahassee yesterday. Senate Minority Leader Lauren Book and Florida Democratic Party Chair Nikki Freed were arrested yesterday. They and about 40 others were protesting after the state Senate passed a bill that bans abortions after 6 weeks. That bill still has to pass in the House. That won't be debated, though, until next week. Connecticut has claimed its fifth NCAA men's basketball national championship. The Huskies defeated San Diego State in a game yesterday, and Donald Trump set to become the only former president ever to be arraigned on criminal charges today. He's reportedly facing several of them. Fox News actually reporting now he's expected to face 34 felony counts. The judge has banned video cameras from the courtroom, but is allowing still photographers.
Yeah, and like you can take photos, I think, beforehand, but not during. And it's all these, and you can have cameras in the hallways. And I know Trump has claimed that the 34 indictment or the 34 count indictment comes from a journalist that he knows that the DA knows, and that that would mean that the DA leaked it, and therefore the DA ought to be charged with.
There's a lot of weird. They were also talking about possibly a gag order on the whole thing too.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Interesting
today.
To see, of course, if he tries to put a gag order on Trump, and then
that'll go well.
Yeah. Because when you try to get Trump to shut up, he just does. Right. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, David, you were in the military. You know how your airborne platforms have chaff. Right, that
right.
When a missile is inbound and you see all of the flares shoot out the back end to try to distract it because it's it's infrared.
Right.
I'm not making a direct comparison, but I do think that sometimes former President Trump behaves like the anti-missile chaff that is just, I'm just going to say all this stuff.
Huh.
And then we'll see what happens and see if anybody gets distracted by it.
So, that's actually, that's pretty good.
It's not, it's not the like... one shot sniper anti-missile device that takes out the incoming with just the one clear design shot. David, thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Time for
Future News. I'm still on the soda thing.
I know.
Candy's
so worked up today. I'm sorry.
Well, they should outlaw coffee.
All right. Future news time, where we tell you what's going to happen. Okay, so concealed carry without a permit is now the law starting July 1st. Will we have open carry, which would be the next step in this evolution? Will Florida become the state with open carry?
Yes.
I think so, too. Will it be this year? Will DeSantis call a special session?
I think so.
If he can get the votes, I mean, that's going to be the real question. And I'll say yes. I'll say yes. That would be a rapid evolution.
The free state of Florida.
Yeah, right.
You should be able to buy soda.
Will it be a circus in New York today?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say calm.
Okay. I hope so.
Yeah, I certainly hope so as well.
He'll be in and out.
Will the 6-week limit on abortions, except for exceptions, become the law of Florida? Will that bill actually advance and get signed?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, I think that one's going to get signed too. We'll be back in just a minute. Around.
Local Talk with Andrew McKay, Jenna Barr, and Bobby Rossi is on News Radio 92.3.